following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
And it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think that we need to rethink it and criminalize
to the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Yeah, I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Good day, Tokens and Tokettes, and welcome. It is Thursday, September 27th, 2012, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. We are bringing you breaking news, live coverage of the raid of the Human Collective, a safe access point, a medical marijuana dispensary, if you will, here in the outskirts of Portland, Oregon, raided this morning by the Sheriff's Office of Washington County. We'll get Lee Berger, one of the attorneys who's working with the collective, on the phone at 45 past, talk about this. Also, earlier today, I spoke with one of the victims of the raid, one of the owners of the collective. We'll have his phone call later on in the show. Also, our own Jennifer Alexander from A Different View was down there speaking to the police and the reporters on scene. She'll be calling in later as well. Plus, we'll take your calls an hour or two at 971-533-7111 on this terrible, terrible breaking news going on here in the state of Oregon. Before we get to all that, though, let us welcome from our virtual studio in Grastoria, Oregon, our news director, Carrie Gallagher. Hello, Carrie.
Hi, Russ. That is terrible news today.
Yeah, it happens. You know, we report on these in Montana, and we report on them in Colorado and California, and now they're hitting close to home, and it just makes the news all that more real. But let's take a look outside of Oregon. What other news stories do we have to cover today?
Well, today we've got some movement on that Supreme Court case about getting the Arkansas Medical Marijuana Initiative on the ballot. I'll tell you what that is all about. Also, a new study came out today that shows maybe pot is addicting. I'm going to tell you what the researchers found. And then I've got two news stories coming up for you today, Russ, both from veterans groups. And I'll tell you all about that coming up in today's 420 Hemp Headlines.
All right. And after that, I'm going to take a look behind the scenes. A good friend of mine, Cheryl Schumann, who markets the Canna Sig, a kind of a portable vaporizer device, hit it big with CBS in Los Angeles yesterday and was featured in a lengthy news segment called Marijuana Moms. I've got a copy of the segment. We're going to show that in our Behind the Headlines segment today. Then at 20 after, today is Groovin' Thursday. So for your 20 after break, we're going to be bringing you some groovin' music from a good friend of the show, Goose, who we introduced on this show and also from the John Doe radio show back in the day. And he's back with a sequel to his hit song No Seeds. This one is called No Seeds Part 2. So we'll take a look at that at 20 after. And then at half past, we're going to dig into this dispensary raid. I've got a copy of the search warrant. We'll give you a little detail behind that. Again, all the people that'll be calling in will talk more about the raid. And a couple of other video things coming up here on the Russ Belville Show. So
we'll
stick around.
Back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers, because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Honey, our ballots came in the mail today. I can't wait to cast my vote for Measure 80.
Measure 80? Is that the one to legalize marijuana? I don't know about that.
Why not? Marijuana is far safer than alcohol.
I know that, but I worry about kids smoking pot.
It's easier for kids to buy pot than beer because clerks check for proper ID.
Sure, but what about stone drivers?
We've had medical marijuana for 14 years, and yet our traffic safety stats are better now than before medical marijuana.
Okay, but what about people coming in stoned to work?
Come on now, honey. Oregon's workplaces are safer than ever, and we have over 50,000 medical marijuana patients. Nothing about Measure 80 prevents employers from maintaining drug-free workplaces. I know change is scary, but Oregon really needs jobs and tax revenue, and Measure 80 will provide them.
Okay, safer for kids and tax revenue for our state? Makes sense to me. I'm voting yes on Measure 80.
Paid for by Oregonians for Law Reform, OregonLawReform.com.
Yarr! Thar be pirates here! Har, 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 har!
The Russ Belville Show brings you the best in daily Toker tunes every weekday. Each day features a different genre, including Roots Monday.
Folks, here's a story about Mindy the Moocher.
Electric Tuesday. Yeah. Irie Wednesday.
Summer ganja planter, call me the ganja planter.
Groovin' Thursday.
Don't you wanna get high?
And Rocket Friday. Then on weekends, we mix them all together in our weekend music party.
Now it's time for your 420 headline news with our news director, Carrie Gallagher.
Thanks, Russ. We got a decision today from the Arkansas Supreme Court regarding a proposed ballot measure to legalize marijuana use for medical reasons in the state. The court upheld the measure, allowing it to be printed on the ballot forms issued to state voters and allowing state officials to count the votes for record. A conservative coalition of groups collectively called the Coalition to Protect Arkansas Values had challenged the proposal's initiative, charging that it did not give the voters clear enough information about how the current laws would change if passed by not spelling out clearly enough that a person could still be prosecuted at a federal level if the state law changed. They had asked the courts to remove the initiative from the ballot or if they ruled too late to ask election officials not to count any votes for it. The justices had previously denied the group's request to hear oral arguments in the lawsuit and made their judgment based on written testimony from both sides of the issue. Arkansas is the first southern state in the nation to send the issue to the voters. The judges were satisfied that the 8,700-worded measure was summed up adequately in the 384-word ballot title. Arkansas Governor Mike Beebe told reporters today that he opposes the proposal and he doesn't think it will pass, but that will be up to the voters on November 6th to prove the governor wrong. A new study from Australia says that withdrawal symptoms from marijuana are real and can affect your daily life. The research that came from the Australian National Cannabis Prevention and Information Center at the University of New South Wales was studying the effects of asking habitual marijuana consumers to abstain from using marijuana for 2 weeks. According to the study, the quitters experienced sleep difficulties, irritability, and other symptoms they say affected their ability to work and their relationship with other people. David Alsop, the lead researcher on the project, says that the biggest impairment to daily lives was seen by those that reported being the heaviest users. Currently, the general consensus is that marijuana's withdrawal effects are minimal. Cannabis withdrawal is not included in the statistical manual of mental disorders like alcohol and cocaine withdrawals are. Current treatments for marijuana addiction at in-house addiction centers have shown little success to get people to stop using marijuana over the long term. Alsop says that the low success rates may be because withdrawal symptoms from marijuana might be stronger than originally thought, and says that if doctors are aware, they can then educate their patients about the possible symptoms of withdrawal and how to cope with them. Alsop pointed out that cannabis is the most prevalent illicit drug used around the world and hopes that his new finding will help add cannabis withdrawal as a disorder in the diagnostic manual. The study was published today in the journal PLOS ONE. And a U.S. Navy veteran from Michigan is suing the state for not complying with the state's 2008 Medical Marijuana Act. Martin Chilcutt, who founded the state group Veterans for Medical Marijuana Access, filed his suit last week against Stephen Hilfinger, the director of the Michigan Licensing and Regulatory Affairs, and Ray Ramsdell, the director of the Bureau of Health Professionals within that same department, for not carrying out their legal responsibilities by not issuing registry cards in a prompt manner and failing to issue annual reports. They also have not added a review panel as required in the law to add or allow medical conditions to the current list. The suit is requesting a writ of mandamus, a legal term for forcing government officials to perform their required duties. Attorney Matt Abel of Cannabis Council PLC, the law firm that helped file that suit, said the state is 2 years behind in issuing recommendations to add new conditions to the program. A review panel to handle those requests was supposed to be put in place in April of 2009. Also in the Michigan Medical Marijuana Act, applications that are sent in with a written certification from a physician is supposed to be approved or denied in 15 days. The department has struggled over the size of their workload of processing applications. They've never quite caught up after getting backlogged in March of this year when they received over 16,000 applications in a 30-day period. The agency had to purchase new equipment and software just to handle that influx. A spokesman for the Licensing and Regulatory Affairs said the program is back to getting applications processed close within that 15-day rule. And in response to the lawsuit, the department said they are still looking for two spots to be filled on the review board and that they will begin putting out more detailed reports coming this year. The Michigan Attorney General is reviewing that lawsuit. And one more, a group of veterans from Colorado formed a pro-marijuana legalization group in frustration over the state health officials denying a second petition to include PTSD as a qualifying condition. At a conference today, the veterans gathered to announce the formation of the group called Veterans for 64. The Colorado amendment ballot measure that if passed would legalize and regulate marijuana for adults. At the conference, Joe Hatcher, an Iraq War veteran, said that as a combat veteran, he was painfully aware of the devastating impact that PTSD has on our soldiers returning from war and duty. He says he hopes the states will pass legalization so that veterans can finally have the access they need to marijuana without fear of arrest or prosecution. The suicide rates among soldiers returning from battle has spiked recently. It's up to 18 veterans committing suicide every day.
That's the Russ Belville Show's Hemp Headlines for today, Thursday, September 27th, 2012. When we come back, we're going to go behind the headlines and take a look at a video that played in Los Angeles on the CBS News just yesterday, featuring our own Cheryl Schumann and other marijuana moms. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Legalization is on the Oregon ballot this November. Measure 80 will institute regulations that treat marijuana like alcohol. Measure 80 will provide jobs and tax revenue we so desperately need. Measure 80 will protect children by moving the marijuana market to adults-only stores that check for ID. Measure 80 will free up police resources to focus on real crimes, not the 1 out of 7 adult Oregonians like me who consume marijuana responsibly. Vote yes on Measure 80 and donate to Oregonians for Law Reform today.
Seventeen states and the District of Columbia have legalized the use of marijuana for medicinal purposes. Over 70% of the American public supports the use of marijuana for medicinal purposes. What does Governor Mitt Romney think of medical marijuana?
So medical marijuana is legal in Colorado. One of our viewers, Bill Ferguson, asked, should marijuana be legalized for medical use?
Aren't there issues of significance that you'd like to talk about?
The medicinal use of marijuana is a significant issue to the millions suffering from cancer, AIDS, and other chronic pain, nausea, spasticity, and seizure disorders.
I think marijuana should not be legal in this country. I believe it's a gateway drug to other drug violations. The use of illegal drugs in this country is leading to terrible consequences in places like Mexico and actually in our own country.
Okay.
I oppose legalization of marijuana.
Tonight, 9 and 11, you might call them marijuana moms.
I feel it's a natural pain reliever.
Delivering a message they hope everyone hears.
Cannabis makes me a better mom.
But what's the risk to their family? Tonight at 11.
Next at 11, why an actor and model had to be detained by fellow passengers on a flight to John Wayne Airport.
And a cannabis crusade by local mothers, why they say smoking pot makes them better moms. CBS 2 News at 11 is 60 seconds away. Well, some moms go the traditional route to cure what ails them, but others are using something much different, something much more taboo, and they say it actually makes them better moms.
It helps many others eat what they need to, yeah.
January Thomas from Koreatown is mom to 16-month-old Zena. But she's no ordinary mom. She medicates 3 to 4 times a day with marijuana, also known medically as cannabis.
That I have early onset arthritis, and I'm gonna have to have wrist surgery soon. For me, I'm a medical cannabis patient, so I prefer cannabis over Vicodin or Percocet or Tylenol 3 over, you know, I feel it's a natural pain reliever, and I feel better using it. I feel it's safer on my body.
Marijuana, said Dr. Eden, is used for many reasons. Like many plants, it can be a medicine or a drug.
January and her fiancé are marijuana activists and believe that education begins at home.
We talk about the plant cannabis. We have a book, it's called It's Just a Plant, and it teaches her how it's medicine. But I don't smoke around my daughter indoors because secondhand smoke is bad.
January thinks it's a misconception that good moms don't use marijuana and that those who do are irresponsible.
Moms that utilize cannabis hold jobs, office jobs, you know, do the PTA.
She says she doesn't smoke joints or use marijuana vaporizers in front of the baby, but she will eat marijuana-infused foods, like this macaroni and cheese with cannabis oil.
January.
And January's not alone.
People call me the Martha Stewart of marijuana. I was one of the founding members of the National Cannabis Industry Association.
Cheryl Schumann has been medicating with cannabis since 1996, when medical marijuana first became legal in California. Over the years, she's relied on it to fight her cancer, chronic pain, and asthma.
And so I started using it, and literally, I went from being prescribed 27 different pharmaceuticals to one little plant.
She's very involved in the $1.7 billion cannabis industry and educates other medical marijuana patients on the laws and different products available to them, like these vaporizers called Canisix. The company provides them to her for free in exchange for promoting them.
You've got your atomizer together here. The medication is in here. Then you just screw it in. And ta-da, you're ready.
Cheryl says one 30-second inhale from a Canisig is the equivalent to smoking a joint, and there's no secondhand smoke or odor.
If you have someone that can't smoke, doesn't have a vaporizer, or specifically a lot of cancer patients, they literally will choose to use the cannabis in their meal.
I think I'm gonna try the scallops, you know?
On this night, these Southland moms all met Chef Fred, who prepared seared scallops, pasta, chicken, and strawberry shortcake. All infused with cannabis oils containing THC extracted from the marijuana plant.
So anything that you can make with oil or butter, that can be mashed potatoes, that can be chocolates, that can be cakes, cookies.
I have never seen a 4-course meal made with cannabis tinctures and oils.
So if you can eat marijuana, vaporize with it, and smoke it, how do you know when you've had too much?
My doctor regulates it. I know what a typical dosage is for me. So it's a very controlled thing, and I feel fine as a mom.
But not everyone thinks what these moms are doing is a good idea.
The problem is it's not FDA approved.
Dr. Charles Sophie is the medical director at the Los Angeles County Department of Children and Family Services. He says there are unknown risks for these marijuana moms.
When it is a part of your day, and it's what your day depends on to get through your day, or you're eating it, or you're baking it, or you're doing something to maintain your day, that's where it becomes an issue. And does it cross over that line of use or abuse or recreational use? And are you entering into a place where it's a safety or risk issue for your family or your child.
But for these women, they say they stay within the laws and talk to their doctors, and each hopes people will think carefully before judging them.
My hope is that they can look at me and say, oh yeah, I can relate to that woman, and maybe I should give it a second look, and she's certainly not one of those drugging people in the alleyway.
Well, certainly a controversial topic. We wanted to know just how January plans to deal with the issue of medical marijuana when her daughter gets older. Well, she says she'd prefer her daughter not use marijuana until she's an adult and her brain is fully developed, and only if it's being used legally.
Tonight at 11, you might call them marijuana moms.
I feel it's a natural pain reliever.
Delivering a message they hope everyone hears.
Cannabis makes me a better mom.
But what's the risk to their family? Tonight at 11 on CBS 2 News.
Oh, yeah, good friends of the show, January Thomas in that piece, also also known as Mrs. Hemp or Mrs. Henry Hemp, and Cheryl Schumann from Canna Sig and formerly with Kush, Beverly Hills Normal. Great piece.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man, a reefer man? Have you ever met that funny reefer man, a reefer man? If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Funky-licious. Oh yeah, that's right. Grooving. Keeping it mellow here at the Funky Roller Ring. So join me, Big Daddy, every Thursday night. The doors open at 11 Eastern, 8 Pacific, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Groove on. Groove on.
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years. They've got mandatory sentences, and these judges say, they throw up their hands and say, there's nothing we can do, there's mandatory sentences. We've got to take a look at what we're considering crimes.
When the Reverend Pat Robertson from television's The 700 Club,
criminalizing marijuana, criminalizing the possession of a few ounces of pot and that kind of thing, I mean, it's just...
makes more sense on the marijuana issue than the president, the Congress, and the Supreme Court.
It's costing us a fortune, and it's ruining young people. The young people go into prisons, they come out, they go in as youths, and they come out as hardened criminals, and it's not a good thing.
You know we're winning.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod-safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Groovin' Thursday, featuring rap, hip-hop, soul, and funk music. You can get downloads and more information about all our Daily Toker Tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tunes.
All right, everybody, Thursday is Groovin' Thursday, and today we get to play a tune from an old friend of the show. Before we get to it, just a couple of notes about the Groovin' Thursday. On Thursdays, our live 8 p.m. show, or our new 8 p.m. show, I should say, since cartoons aren't live, is Big Daddy Fink's Funky Roller Rink. Tonight at 8 o'clock, a brand new edition, episode number 13, Sample My Funk, number 2. All the tunes you know and love that are the background samples of popular rap and R&B songs. He plays the originals for 1 hour, back-to-back, very funky-licious. If you dig that late 70s, early 80s funk disco groove, tonight's the night for you. 8 p.m., Big Daddy Fink's Funky Roller Rink. And if you want a little sample of sampling, if you want a little sample of Big Daddy Fink's rink, right after Toker Talk Radio, 3 o'clock Pacific, we'll be playing a replay from the archives, just a random sample of Big Daddy Fink's Funky Roller Rink, so you know what you're getting yourself into. You'll have a real good time. Check it out. Join the live chat and enjoy our Groovin' Thursday. All right, for today's song, we've got a good friend of the show who emailed me just a little while back, got a note on our Facebook page. And again, you can check out our Facebook page at facebook.com/rbshow420. That's the Russ Belville Show Facebook page. Make sure you like it and share it with your friends. And Goose emailed me and he said, Russ, it's Goose. You did me the biggest solid by playing me on your show. I'll forever owe you. It was such a great exposure. You played my jams and gave me a nice write-up a few years ago on your show. Here is the new song, No Seeds, Part 2. 89 more strains that were not mentioned in part one. Enjoy. You are the greatest. Well, thanks, Goose. I appreciate that. I appreciate all the artists who donate their music to our daily Toker Tunes library. You can hear Toker Tunes at noon, 6, midnight, and 6 every day Pacific time. 1 hour of random tunes for the day, depending on which weekday it is. And today's Groovin' Thursday, you'll hear some of that great rap, R&B, and hip-hop all mixed up. So we're going to turn things over to the man himself. This is Goose, No Seeds, Part 2.
Nice Girl Scout cookies and Mighty Mite with the double Dutch hemp star ducks foot freeze lemon skunk fruity pebbles UK cheese Jamaican pearl pineapple killer queen saber tooth Cujo Apollo 13 train wreck bubblegum sage blue dream lavender mango tangerine give me lion heart headband Peruvian skunk the cheese chocolate chocolate chunk rolling purse lady hog's breath domino black Feel good, alien, emerald jack, sour bubble, blackberry, half-blue, time warp, kill bill, green pimp, the works. I want the cotton candy, the master, the platinum kush, Martian mean green, granddaddy nerds.
In the world like weed, that's why I'm smoking on the blunt, puffing on the joint, lighting up a bowl, no seeds, no seeds. That ganja's all I want, it's really all I need. Ain't nothing in the world like weed, that's why I'm smoking on the blunt. Puffin' on the joint, lighting up a bowl, no seeds, no seeds. That ganja's all I want, it's really all I need. Ain't nothing in the world like me.
Rider Yumbo, big kahuna. Blue velvet warlock, reclining Buddha. Smoking Bull Moon, Edelweiss, power plant. Some Panama red hair, sour champ. I'll take the A-Train, Morning Star, B-52. Stonehenge, Vortex, Couch Lock 2. Durban poison, mind bender, gypsy's kiss. Oregon, purple tide, twilight mist. Island lady, Tora Bora, nebula tan. Skywalker, Jedi, medicine man. Blazing Swiss Miss, Smokey Bear, Northern Berry. Tropicana, sweet treat, voodoo cherry. Hit the great green goblin, Alaskan ice. Wonder Woman, Sputnik, orange slice. With the MK Ultra, purple haze. And that's just a couple of the strings I play.
That's why I'm smoking on the blunt. Puffin' on the joint, lighting up a bowl, no seeds, no seeds. That ganja's all I want, it's really all I need. Ain't nothing in the world like weed, that's why I'm smoking on the blunt. Puffin' on the joint, lighting up a bowl, no seeds, no seeds. That ganja's all I want, it's really all I need. Ain't nothing in the world like weed.
Yeah, that's our good buddy Goose, No Seeds Part 2. Check them out at goosemusic.com for downloads. And check out radicalrust.com. Get your VIP membership for downloads to all of our daily Toker tunes.
I'm Sub Cool from Team Green Avenger. At TGAGenetics.com, we are working on the leading edge of medical strains. Our strains are rigorously tested for THC, CBD, THCV, and other critical cannabinoids. Know your grow. Check out our genetic diversity at TGAGenetics.com, the home of Jilly Bean, Jack the Ripper, Vortex, and other award-winning cannabis strains.
Five of the last seven major party candidates to run for president, three of the last seven vice presidential candidates, and the last three presidents have all smoked pot. Marijuana, the gateway drug to the White House. This is the Russ Belville Show. We'll be right back. activism begins with ACT. The Russ Belville Show features the stories of hardworking grassroots activists working for an end to prohibition in today's activist agenda.
All right, welcome back, everyone. It's half past the hour, and of course, we're covering breaking news of the Portland area medical marijuana dispensary raids that were undertaken not by the Drug Enforcement Administration, mind you, but by the Washington County Sheriff's Office. And joining us on the telephone is a hardworking Portland activist. You know her as the co-host of A Different View that's on live every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. here on RadicalRust.com. She's also the Portland Dispensaries Examiner at Examiner.com and a former campaign manager for the Oregon Cannabis Tax Act. Jennifer Alexander is on the phone. Jennifer, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Russ.
Glad to have you back here. And, you know, when this thing went down, I saw the tweet come across as soon as I was up this morning, and you were the first person I thought of because you're out there in Washington County. Tell us what you found when you got down there to the raid.
Actually, it was very barren. There was no activity going on at all when I got there. There were three police officers just sitting outside kind of monitoring the front door and reviewing the search warrant. I'm guessing that they were there to snag up anybody who may come in to work there since that was a part of the search warrant. But they wouldn't answer any questions or give any additional information. Noelle Crombie from the Oregonian was there, and I was able to get a little bit of information that she had picked up from her. They did give me the contact for the public information officer, Sergeant Bob Ray, but I've left him a couple of messages and he hasn't called back. I was really disturbed, though, to learn that it was Washington County that was doing the raid as opposed to the DEA, like right on High Hopes Farm a couple weeks back.
Yeah, and we have from your visit there at the raid, the Oregonian posted a video of you speaking there. Let's see if I can get this to run here from the Oregonian, OregonLive.com. Noelle Crombie is the reporter who's down there, and you were there speaking at the dispensary. They just, reporters got you there, and of course, now it's not loading up like I would expect. Okay, well, we will let that load up, but so what did you learn from the reporters or people that had been there covering it before you'd gotten there?
Only that they were raiding the Human Collective. They were raiding the grow store next door to the Human Collective,
Grow America.
Thank you. And they were raiding a residence, which the Oregonian said was the residence of David Nicholson. I believe that's also the residence of Sarah Bennett, based on the search warrant. They had detained two people, although I have not been able to find out which two people. I was told by Lee Berger that David Nicholson was not one of them, but I have not found out who the two people were. And I think it's just interesting to note, because a lot of our listeners probably aren't aware of this, but for any that are in Washington County, the Washington County Sheriff is actually asking at the ballot this November for an extension on a levy to fund their sheriff services that was supposed to expire long ago, but they've continued to find reasons to extend it. Mm-hmm. And it expires in June of 2013. And specifically part of what they're trying to get this levy for is to continue to do these sorts of raids.
Yeah.
So
let me go to the video here, Jennifer. I do believe it's loaded up here.
I was just going to say that I think it's amazing that they let all of these places openly operate. And then right before an election and at harvest time, then they raid. They've been here since 2010. They've had contact with the police, the media, you know, openly operating. So it's just surprising.
Yeah, well put, Jennifer. That's Jennifer Alexander earlier at the raid that was going on there at the Human Collective in Tigard, Oregon. Friends of ours, people we know very well, being raided. And let me go to the search warrant here really quickly, and then I'll get your comment on it because we got a copy of this earlier. And it identifies the person identified as Sarah Ann Bennett. By the way, folks, Sarah Ann Bennett's a friend of ours. She recently gave birth to her second child. Her older child is a toddler. So, yeah, a mom with a newborn infant is now being sought by police. And all persons found or arriving at, and then it lists the business addresses, who work at the business or exercise any control over the business or its contents by paying expenses associated with the business, storing personal property, making personal telephone calls from a telephone in the business, or exercising any other form of control over the business. And I started thinking, holy hell, have I ever made a phone call from the Human Collective?
Well, and I think that realistically, we have to take into account that that means that every grower, every patient, every vendor that's left anything there. As a matter of fact, when I worked for the Oregon Cannabis Tax Act as campaign manager, we had petitions there. There's a lot of personal property at that location, and this search warrant seems to indicate that every single one of those people is subject to it.
Yeah, and, Carrie has a very good comment on this. Carrie, would you just voice that comment, please?
Well, we've had this discussion over years and years, and I, like a lot of other people, why I wouldn't want my name on a medical marijuana list, why a lot of people don't get involved in the medical marijuana programs.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just a shame. The warrant continues that they are also to seize, photograph, and analyze the following. Any and all controlled substances to include marijuana plants and usable marijuana. Controlled substances paraphernalia to include scales, packaging materials, and pipes. Marijuana grow equipment to include potting soils, potting plants, fertilizer, timers, grow lights, drip watering systems, mylar, black plastic, and all other items that are used to facilitate the distribution, manufacture, and possession of marijuana. All business records pertaining to the Human Collective and Grow America Garden Supply to include sales records, purchase agreements, customer records, and vendor records, cash and other negotiable securities and commodities, including checks, money orders, precious metals, and other proceeds and assets from the trafficking of controlled substances. Records and or ledgers containing marijuana grow operation records. Items of identification, such as state-issued driver's licenses and personal papers, documents to identify co-conspirators, cellular telephones and their contents, computers and their contents, any computer data storage devices and their contents. Wow.
And, yeah, everything. And I just want to be clear, I don't know how many people understand how the Human Collective works, but what the Human Collective does is they charge a membership fee in order for patients to come together at their location. There's no medicine included in that membership fee. That's how they pay for their overhead. And then they have what they call a MedExpress account, which is basically a place where patients would put money to then transfer to growers to reimburse for the medicine. Those growers have to provide strict documentation, and they actually list all of the documentation and exactly how it's calculated on their website. And they're very thorough to make sure that they're only reimbursing for those supplies and utilities, specifically what the law allows.
Yeah.
So the only area of contention that may be there is whether or not growers can be reimbursed by people that are not their direct patient. This is the only area of contention that Human Collective operates within.
Right. And of course, that contention is over the Article A rather than the Article the. A cardholder,
right,
patient may reimburse a grower for the expenses. It does not say the patient and the grower. And I expressed this earlier today when I got a call in, how if you were going to make a list of the safe access points, let's just go with the name for that name for now. If you're going to make a list of the safe access points in Oregon, of which the government claims there's around 100, and you were going to put them in order of who's blatantly violating the Oregon Medical Marijuana Act, Human Collective would be number 100 on that list.
Right. They're definitely one of the most above board and clear in their intent to follow the law.
Absolutely. All right. We are speaking with Jennifer Alexander from A Different View and the Portland Dispensaries Examiner at examiner.com. You've got to follow her reporting if you want to find out what's going on here for sure. Let me go back in our little time machine here for a second, Jennifer. I spoke with Don Morse earlier this afternoon. He called in shortly after noon and we got it on recording, and I'll play this. It's about a 5-minute interview, and then afterwards we'll get your comments on that as well. Hold on. This to start record. We've got Don Morse on the phone. He is one of the people primarily involved with the Human Collective in Tigard, Oregon. It's the it's one of our safe access points for medical marijuana in Washington County, notably a conservative county, that was raided this morning by the Washington County Sheriff's Office. Don, how are you, sir?
Well, like I said, I've had better days.
I'll bet. Can you just break down the scene? What did you come to work this morning to find?
I drove up, and there was an unmarked vehicle and three police officers stepped out of that and started taking down my plate number. I put it in reverse and drove off.
Okay. So I've got a copy of the warrant here, the search warrant that the police...
I have not seen that.
Yeah,
so.
I do have a copy of the warrant. It does name Sarah Ann Bennett as a person to be detained and arrested. And also, all persons found or arriving at the location who work at the business or exercise any control over the business. So, Don, I worry for you, my man, because I'm afraid this may mean you are a fugitive at the moment.
Pretty much.
Wow. So how is this? What's the next plan? Have you been in touch with attorneys or anyone at this point?
Of course. we've been in touch with a number of attorneys and to determine, you know, what our legal standing is. And we don't think we've done anything wrong. And it's our intention to move forward and fight this.
Don, as far as this this situation goes, it really breaks me up because if they were gonna raid anybody under the idea that they were in gross violation of the Oregon Medical Marijuana Act, the last place on the list would be the Human Collective. You guys have gone above and beyond trying to trying to live under this law. Tell us what it's like trying to live under this law and how you've tried to structure things and why you don't think you've done anything wrong.
Well, Human Collective is the most compliant in the state of Oregon as far as what could be interpreted as, I don't know, what could be interpreted as going after people who are trying to...
Well, for people that don't know the Oregon law, here's where it's weird, is that we as cardholders can freely distribute plants and medicine between each other so long as there's no consideration. We can't trade, we can't barter, you can't buy, nothing, right? We can give it freely. And the other part of the law is that a patient may reimburse a grower for the cost of supplies and utilities and all that it takes to grow the medicine, but not the labor. And from my understanding, what Human Collective is involved with is just making sure that these growers get their legal reimbursement and the patients get the medicine that they're entitled to. It's not like you're giving them away 3 or 4 pounds. They're getting, you know, well below what their legal limits are. So I just don't understand why Washington County, well, I do understand why Washington County has a problem with it. Have you spoken to anyone else from the collective, and Sarah in particular? Oh, my. I'm sorry. We must have lost the connection here. It looks like we've lost Don on the phone here. I understand.
All right.
Course,
so that's where,
situation. As you can hear, Don dropped out of the call. And as things are breaking like that, you can understand he probably had something very important to attend to. So, Jennifer, just wanted to get your thoughts on that call.
Well, I think that for me personally, as a mom, the most disturbing part to me is what's going to happen to Sarah now. She tried to be completely above board, partly, you know, just because it's the legal thing to do, but partly because she's a mother of 2 young children, as you mentioned. And while they had said that there's been no arrests yet, as we know, they usually do arrest later and then try to force a plea on somebody. And children become a bartering chip in that. And that puts her in a very bad place. And I feel really bad for her because it's hard to say how things will go from here. You know, I mean, even if she's completely right, sometimes you get forced into a plea in order to protect your children. So I'm really concerned for her on that.
Yeah.
I'm also really concerned for all the patients that have come to rely on the Human Collective. There aren't very many options out here in Washington County. The other 2, I believe that Serene Dreams was also in Washington County, and then Wake and Bake were raided last year, and Human Collective pretty much remained the last one in Washington County. So there's a lot of patients in Washington County that now won't have resources, and it seems to be expanded more and more. So,
I'll tell you, I did get a call in from Vinny Boombots, the head of the Drug Dealers Union Local 420 from Washington County. He's thrilled about the raid.
I bet. Actually, it's funny. There was another article in the Oregonian that was commenting on how little pot is growing on public lands this year. I mean, significantly less, where they had had hundreds of thousands of plants harvested in previous years. Mm-hmm. This year, they've only found, I think it was 16,000. And that's a significant drop. I mean, we're talking, you know, like six times as less than what we've had in previous years. And last year we had the same budget shortfalls that we had this year, and they still found a couple hundred thousand plants. So it shows me that medical marijuana is displacing the black market. And when they remove these valid medical marijuana facilities, patients are forced back into that black market, which creates the demand that puts those public lands back in danger of being grown on.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're going to take a short break here. We're expecting a call in from Leland Berger, one of the attorneys who will be helping defend this case. And Jennifer, stay on the line. We'll get more thoughts from you on this breaking news of the Portland area medical marijuana dispensary raids by the Washington County Sheriff on the Human Collective and Grow America Garden Supply. This is the Russ Belville Show.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Cast your eyes up to the skies. What is it to live and die?
NORML stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks are far less than those posed by legal drugs.
There is a peaceful solution called a peace revolution. And now let's take back America.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Like millions of freedom-loving Americans, I'm a marijuana smoker, and I don't think that that should be any of the government's business. There's absolutely nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana. The next time you light up, take the time to let your elected officials know how you feel. It's time we legalize marijuana and stop treating marijuana smokers like criminals. For more information on how you can help legalize marijuana, please contact NORML at NORML.org.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
You want answers?
You have offended my family?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
And you have offended Shaolin Temple.
You can't handle the truth!
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Hoo-ah! Radical rant.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Today's rant, of course, we're covering the Portland area medical marijuana dispensary raids by the Washington County Sheriff's Office. And we've got a lot of calls coming in. We've got Leland Berger on the line. We've got Don Morse on the line. We heard from Don earlier. We've got Jennifer Alexander still hanging out in the virtual studio with our news director, Carrie Gallagher. Let's go first to Leland Berger. Hello, Lee. How are you? Oh, thanks for calling in, Lee. And you know, terrible day today for the Oregon cannabis community. Give us your thoughts on this Washington County raid.
Well, it's disappointing that the Washington County Sheriff's Office would interrupt the supply of medicine to patients. And the problem with raids like this, as far as I'm concerned, is that by forcing patients to the underground market, it actually creates crime.
Yeah, it's a shame. And, you know, speaking of crime, as I was researching this story, I decided to look up the Oregon Uniform Crime Reports from 2010. And it turns out in Washington County, when you compare the incidents versus the arrests, they have solved about less than two-thirds of the assaults and about less than a quarter of the thefts and a quarter of the sex crimes in Washington County. This kind of speaks to a misplaced resources, don't you think?
Well, it might. I hear what you're saying. I know that, you know, a guy from KXL called earlier and asked me if I was concerned about the disconnect between the state law and the federal law, and I told him I was more concerned about the disconnect between Washington County and the rest of the state.
Yeah, explain that to people. Some of our listeners may not understand how, you know, they think of I say Portland area when I report this story, and they think, well, Portland, isn't that Portlandia and Voodoo Donuts, and they love weed there. Tell them what's going on in Washington County.
Well, in Washington County is to the west of Portland. It's the Silicon Forest, and it, in the sense that there are major electronics firms that are large employers there, and they are a wealthy county, and they have significant resources. So, and for whatever reason, they are unhappy, especially about the Medical Marijuana Act, so that the county commissioners, for example, funded the litigation on where the sheriffs in Washington County and Jackson County refused to issue concealed handgun licenses to patients simply because they were patients, mm-hmm. all the way up to the United States Supreme Court, with each court either, you know, agreeing with the court below, or in the case of the United States Supreme Court, just refusing to hear the case. And they are, you know, I think the most aggressive in the sense of going after these safe access points. You know, and I can't speak to Wake and Bake because I wasn't involved with that, but I am familiar, you know, both with Serene Dreams and with, you know, now the Human Collective, and I know at both locations that the people were trying really hard to be in compliance with the law. I should say I don't represent them. I represent a fellow who owns the store next door, Grow America. But, you know, I had written one time about, you know, a model that I thought would work consistent with the Oregon Medical Marijuana Act, and had the opinion, you know, then and now that the closest thing to what I was proposing was what they were doing at the Human Collective. So, you know, I am familiar with their model, and it's just disappointing on the one hand. On the other hand, it's, you know, it's way early. I have the search warrants, and I know you have them too, but we haven't seen the affidavits in support of the warrants, and we don't know, you know, if there was some event unrelated to the, you know, legitimate operations at the Human Collective that occasioned this this raid today. And, you know, when I asked the prosecutor about that, he said it was too early to discuss that. So,
well, listed on the warrant, of course, Sarah Ann Bennett was the only named person on the warrant. Have there been any detentions or arrests?
Well, the Sarah and another person were detained at her home, and no one. The prosecutor assured me no one was going to be arrested today.
Okay, so we, you know, when we cover these...
Typically, I should add, Russ. Typically, in Washington County, what they do is they investigate, including, you know, executing search warrants, convene a grand jury, subpoena witnesses and evidence to the grand jury, and when they have an indictment, they secure arrest warrants and then go out and arrest people then, mm-hmm. as opposed to at the beginning of the investigation, which is more common in other counties.
Okay.
I'm talking particularly about, you know, in cannabis cases. Obviously, if it were, you know, a real crime,
yeah.
and the person presented a real danger to the community, they would take them into custody immediately. But
yeah.
on these cases, it's more typically after the grand jury indictment process.
Okay, we're speaking with Leland Berger, who's one of the attorneys working in association with the Grow America garden supply store that was also listed on the warrant, along with the Human Collective in Tigard, Oregon, in Washington County, nearby Portland, Oregon. Don Morse is also on the line. He is one of the people working with the Human Collective. Don, welcome back. Thanks for calling back.
You're welcome.
Has anything in the past hour and a half since we last spoke, any new changes? Have you been contacted by police or anyone?
No, okay. Not by anyone.
So still just kind of in a state of suspension and maybe a little bit of fear, I imagine.
A little bit, yeah. We don't know what's going to happen.
You know, I don't want to do detailed questions because, of course, if there's going to be an ongoing investigation, I don't want to help anybody in a prosecution. So I want to talk more about feelings here, and in working at the Human Collective and trying to follow this Oregon Medical Marijuana Act. Tell us about some of the patients, some of the people that you've helped, and how you've been able to change their lives.
Well, Human Collective has a significant number of patients over the age of 50 that, on a regular basis, we get patients who walk in who know nothing about marijuana at all. And they're like, okay, my doctor said this was an option for me. I've gone through getting the recommendation and the card through the state. Can you help me out? What do I do from here? And, we're there to help them. There are just so many people that rely on medical marijuana to help them through cancer, through glaucoma, they qualify through other reasons for PTSD, but it's just a shame what's happening right now.
Yeah, and to see this happening after, the state jacked up the fees that the people have to pay just to get on the program, and now we see money being spent on busting people who are just trying to follow the law. I mean, that's just got to tear you up.
It does. I mean, Human Collective has worked diligently to try and work within, what the state says we have to do. And to that, we have been working with state legislatures, most notably Andy Olson, who is the head of the Republican caucus. We've been working with him to draft legislation for the 2013 legislature for safe access points. And because they recognize the need for medical patients to safely access medical marijuana. Because that's what people of Oregon have said, that they recognize this as a medicine, and they want to have safe access for it. And we've done a lot of work in the last 2 years, actually, to make this happen.
Yeah, we haven't seen anybody that's put more into it to try to follow this strangely written law that expects medical marijuana to appear from the weed fairy. You're allowed to have it, you're allowed to grow it, but you can't get any seeds anywhere, you can't buy it anywhere, you have to depend on Mother Teresa to come help you out. Hey, look, we've got to wrap up this hour of the show, but you're welcome to stay on the line if you can. I understand if you have to go, but I want to thank Leland Berger for calling in. Lee, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you, Russ, for airing me.
And Don Morse from the Human Collective, thank you for standing strong.
Thank you.
And Jennifer Alexander from A Different View will keep you on the line as well if you can stay.
Yes, thanks.
All right. When we come back, it's going to be Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio. We take your calls here at 971-533-7111. If you got any questions for Jennifer or Leland or Don, if they're still on the line in Hour 2, we'll take them, and I'll help out as best I can. This is what it's all about, folks. Voice of the Marijuana Nation, our media. We can bring and break these stories to the world, and we can mobilize and organize and educate and fight to regulate this plant. We're going to do it. And none of this will happen. None of this will happen once we end prohibition for everyone. Let's keep that in mind. For Cannabis Carry, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it.